You're listening to Health Savvy You, where understanding health starts with you. I'm Dr. Navjot Butter, a dental surgeon, health communication epidemiologist, and your friend on the journey to better health literacy. In every episode, I break down complex health info, teach you how to spot fake health tips, and share practical tools to help you think clearly, ask smarter questions, and make confident health choices. Keep listening, because becoming healthier shouldn't feel out of reach. It should feel empowering. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Health Savvy You. Do you know what they say? That we are a sum of five people we're closest to. So what happens when those five people believe and share health information that is incorrect? You know, when you get that WhatsApp text about a health tip from a friend, something like, drink this one homemade mix to prevent cancer. Doctors don't want you to know about it. Maybe you roll your eyes, but then your mom comes and says, I have started doing it. My friend's daughter swears by it. So now you pause, because suddenly it doesn't sound like nonsense. It sounds like love, like concern, like trust. That, my friends, is where misinformation wins. Not in the absence of information, but in the presence of influence. We like to believe that people fall for health misinformation because maybe they are less educated or they don't have access to good science. But the truth is more human and more complicated. False beliefs, especially about health, don't just come from not knowing enough. They come from trusting the wrong cues. False and true beliefs often form through the exact same process in our brains. Think about it. You don't read every peer-reviewed journal before deciding what to eat, or which supplement to buy, or whether to get that vaccine. None of us do. Instead, we rely on people we trust, sources we feel are credible, and messages that feel all right to us. That's why you're more likely to believe a health claim if it comes from someone who looks like you, or someone who has a lot of followers online, or someone who simply sounds confident, warm, or a little bit like your mom. This is where social influence becomes a problem for health information. We trust attractive, powerful, or charismatic people, those who share our background or beliefs, and of course, people we perceive as experts, even if they are not medically trained. And this is called as in-group bias. We believe people like us more than we believe, say, a stranger in white coat on the news. And while this instinct helps build community, it also opens door to misinformation, especially when it comes to your body, your food, your safety. Ever thought, oh, five of my friends posted about this detox cleanse, it must work. But that is not evidence. That's false consensus bias, the sneaky brain glitch where we assume that everyone thinks like us and therefore we must be right. It's comforting. But when it comes to health, this comfort can be dangerous when it replaces accuracy. So when someone shares that turmeric can cure diabetes or that sunscreen causes cancer, ask yourself, do I believe this because it's true or because someone I trust believes it? Beliefs, especially health beliefs, aren't just shaped by facts. They are shaped by relationships, identities, and emotion. And in a world full of voices shouting for attention, the one you recognize is the one you listen to, even if it's wrong. And what about the viral side of misinformation? How a post going viral can make even dangerous health advice look trustworthy? Have you ever seen a post online, maybe on Instagram or TikTok, that made a wild health claim like bananas cure depression? And instead of thinking, wait, that sounds suspicious, you thought, weird, but it got like 10,000 likes. Maybe there is something to it. Yeah, me too. That right there is the power of virality. And it's one of the most seductive forces behind health misinformation today. So let's break it down. Why does popularity make lies look true? When something is shared a lot, liked a lot, or repeated over and over, our brains start doing a lazy little trick. We confuse familiarity with truth. It's called the illusion of truth effect. And it means the more you see something, the more believable it feels, even if it's completely false. So if that bananas for depression post now shows up on your feed like 10 times in a week with a glowing influencer swearing by it, you don't stop and research about it. You just go, wow, I have seen this everywhere. Maybe I should try it too. That's the moment misinformation wins again. And social media doesn't just allow this, it supercharges it. Virality works like this. A post gets shared a few times, more people see it, engage with it. That engagement makes the algorithm think, wow, people love this. So it gets pushed to even more feeds. And now you're in the loop. A self-perpetuating feedback loop where more shares mean more perceived trust, which leads to more exposure, which hardens your belief further. And then there are even more shares. It's like a rumor with a social media engine. And when it comes to health, this isn't just annoying, it's dangerous. Because viral health misinformation isn't just about quirky wellness fads. It can look like an anti-vaccine content that gets millions of views, a miracle cancer cure that pushes people away from real treatment, nutrition lies that fuel eating disorders, or influencers preaching sunlight, not sunscreen, leading to real skin damage. Let's talk about those influencers for a second. They don't have to be medical experts. They just have to look like they know what they're talking about. Throw in a glowing face, a yoga mat, a few well-lit kitchen shots, and suddenly they are your health guru. And once they have got followers, likes, and shares, instant credibility. Even if they're sharing misleading information, their authority doesn't come from medical training. It comes from the algorithm. But the algorithm doesn't care if it's true. It only cares if it is clickable. Here's what's really wild. Research shows that more viral a post becomes, the less skeptical people are of it, but only when the post is false. Yep. People become less likely to question misinformation when it's viral, but they do not give the same trust boost to accurate posts. Why? Because trust is boring. It's quiet. It's not designed to go viral. But lies, they come dressed to the party. Let's return to your brain for a second. Your brain evolved to take social cues seriously. If everyone around you is doing something, eating something, avoiding something, believing something, your brain says, well, maybe I should too. And online, everyone just means the post that has lots of likes. So now that banana depression post, it's not just a claim, it's a movement. That's why misinformation spreads faster than facts, because it doesn't have to be accurate. It just has to be popular. And once it gets enough traction, the human brain and the algorithm can't help but say, this must be true. Look how many people believe it. But in health, that kind of logic can be deadly. So here's your viral filter. Next time you see a health tip on your feed, ask yourself, is this being shared because it really works or just because it's catchy? And who benefits if I believe it? Because truth doesn't always come with filters and emojis. Sometimes it comes quietly, and that means we need to listen harder. With all this, how your identity, who you are, what you value, and where you belong also shapes what you believe and what you resist. Okay, be honest. Have you ever posted a health-related post on your gram? A green juice, a gym selfie, a meditation code? And not because it was life-changing, but because it felt share-worthy. Maybe you were starting a new diet or trying to stay accountable to yourself, or you just really liked how the post looked. And the likes started rolling in. That dopamine hit, so real. And then someone commented, wait, should I join you too? That's not just validation, that's influence. And this, my friends, is part of the misinformation story we don't talk about enough. People don't just believe false health info. They share it to be seen, to belong, and to say something about who they are becoming. Because social media isn't just a feed, it's a stage. And on that stage, health is one of the most powerful scripts we perform. Your food choices, your fitness routine, your mental health hacks, they're not just private behaviors anymore. They're public statements. You're telling the world, I care about my body. I am on a journey. I am not like those other people. And so when someone shares a flashy headline about a health hack, they're not just passing along information. They're signaling something much deeper. This is the kind of person I want to be. Sharing is equal to identity. And misinformation is designed to tap into that. Posts that confirm our values, our fears, or our hopes. They go viral not because they're true, but because they make us feel seen. You're starting a new health journey? You're more likely to believe and share content that feels aligned with that, even if it's false. You want to feel in control of your health? You're more likely to believe and share natural remedies or secrets that doctors won't tell you, because they give you a sense of power. You want to stand out? A shocking, dramatic claim, even if it's pseudoscience, is more likely to get noticed than a boring scientific one now. You don't get a lot of likes for saying, please consult your physician and read the systematic review. We're more likely to believe and share fake news when we are going through personal transitions, like starting a new health kick, going through a breakup, feeling burnt out, trying to get back into shape, or just searching for something to believe in. Why? Because in those moments, we are craving change. And with change comes vulnerability. We are more open to suggestions. We are more likely to seek comparison and more eager for affirmation. So we scroll. We see a friend post about probiotics and healing their gut naturally. We think, maybe I should try that too. And another post gets shared, and another piece of unverified advice gains traction. Social media becomes a feedback loop of lifestyle performance and peer pressure. The cycle looks like this. You post something health-related, you get likes, shares, approval, you feel good, maybe even seen or admired, you share more of the same, and suddenly you have become part of the misinformation machine and you don't even realize it. Because this isn't about being malicious, it is about being human. Sharing is self-evaluation. We post things to compare ourselves to others and to see how others compare themselves to us. It's why people are more likely to share health advice during wellness trends, New Year's resolutions, or right before summer. We're trying to show I am doing something good. I am in control. I am making myself better. But when that performance includes misinformation, when we promote detox scams or fake mental health cures, we're not just seeking approval, we're unintentionally spreading harm. So here's the truth. Social media rewards sharing, not accuracy. It gives more visibility to what's dramatic, emotional, identity, and affirming, not necessarily what's evidence-based. And when we mix health with that hunger for validation, comparison, visibility, we create the perfect storm for misinformation to spread. So next time you see or feel the urge to share a catchy health claim, ask yourself, am I sharing this because it's true or because I want to be seen a certain way? Because your health and social media is no more personal. It's political, it's social, it's visible. And in the age of likes and shares, it's also performative. Do you know that our beliefs, especially the ones tied to identity, politics, and community, affect what health information we accept and what we instinctively reject? So far, we have talked about how people believe and share misinformation to feel included, to perform identity to seek validation. But what happens when the truth shows up and you still don't want to believe it? Not because it's too complicated, not because you didn't read the study, but because it just doesn't feel right for your people, your tribe, your worldview. Welcome to the power of social identity, where facts don't just challenge your thinking, they threaten your belonging. Let's get something straight. Humans are tribal. We might live in cities and shop online, but psychologically, we're still wired like tribes. We organize ourselves into social groups by politics, by religion, by race, class, profession, parent status, even gym memberships. And when it comes to health beliefs, those identities don't just stay at the door. They walk right into our doctor's office, our group chats, and our social feeds. And what happens when a health fact threatens one of our group values? We don't just reject the fact, we defend the tribe. Let's break that down. Say you belong to a community that prides itself on natural living and skepticism of big pharma. Now imagine you see a post about dangers of childhood vaccines being overblown. Even if you're educated, even if the science is crystal clear, your brain wants to believe the post. Because accepting the truth would mean confronting the possibility that your group, your friends, your lifestyle, maybe even your past choices were misinformed. That's not just uncomfortable, it threatens our identity. This is where our brains get sneaky. We don't just ignore the facts. We protect ourselves from them using a few handy defense mechanisms. Let me introduce you to the big three. First, avoiding. We simply don't look. We unfollow the expert, scroll past the post, mute the person sharing the genuine health update. This is emotional self-preservation. We know if we engage, we might feel doubt, and doubt feels disloyal. Second, delegitimizing. If we can't avoid the message, we attack the messenger. Oh, that scientist is probably paid by the pharma companies. She's too liberal and woke. He's not even a real doctor. This tactic allows us to keep believing what we believe without changing anything. We turn the source into the enemy, which keeps our tribe safe. Third, limiting. If the fact is too strong to deny, we rationalize it away. Well, maybe vaccines work, but I still don't trust the new ones. Or, sure, masks might help, but I heard they make kids anxious. This lets us acknowledge the fact without fully letting it in. These three tactics, avoiding, delegitimizing, and limiting, are how we build mental firewalls around our beliefs. Then social media makes all of this way worse, because online, we can curate our own reality. Follow only the accounts that agree with us. Join private groups that reinforce what we already believe, and block out everyone else. This is what researchers call an echo chamber, where the same opinions bounce around and get louder over time, making dissent seem almost offensive. It's no longer just, I disagree with that study. It becomes, people like us don't believe that. And this is especially dangerous in health, because health decisions don't just affect you, they ripple out. If your in-group believes vaccines are bad, your kids can go unvaccinated. If your circle insists that cancer can be cured with a green juice, you might delay the right treatment. If your political identity mocks mental health care, you might suffer in silence. The result? Truth becomes tribal and science becomes political. If you're a healthcare professional and wants to share evidence-based information, here's a hard truth. Facts don't always win, just because they're facts. They have to feel safe. They have to be delivered in a way that doesn't threaten who people think they are. So if we want to fight health misinformation, we can't just flood people with links and studies. We have to understand their identity. We have to ask, what tribe are they protecting? What values feel under threat? What story are they trying to stay loyal to? Because unless we deal with that, the facts don't stand a chance. All right, let's take a breath. We have gone on a bit of a journey today. So now let's zoom out and make sense of it all. Because if we understand how we're being influenced, we are one step closer to resisting it. So here it is. The greatest hits of how social influence shapes what we believe and share, even when it's wrong, even when it's dangerous. Let's start with the basics. First, we trust people who feel like us. That trust can be beautiful, it builds community, but it also can blind us. If someone from our circle says vaccines are dangerous, we're more likely to believe it. Not because it's true, but because it feels familiar. Second, we also trust people who seem attractive or powerful because they seem like someone we want to be. So we take their health advice seriously, even when it's false, even when it's harmful. Third, social media rewards popularity, not accuracy. So when an influencer's post goes viral, that virality becomes its own proof. It's like cloud laundering for misinformation. Fourth, repetition becomes truth. You've heard this one. Say it enough times and people will believe it. It's not just a PR trick, it's neuroscience. Fifth, our desire for approval makes us share misinformation, not because we believe it, but because we want to be seen. Sixth, people who are in a moment of change are more easily misled. They are trying to be better, change their habits, or signal a new lifestyle. But when people are in that search mode, they are more vulnerable to false promises. Seven, echo chambers. The internet lets us into a digital bubble, and in that bubble, everyone seems to agree with us. That makes it way harder to see or trust dissenting views. Eight, identity-protected cognition. Big phrase, big impact. It means that what threatens your identity, you reject those facts. Nine, avoiding delegitimizing and limiting. When uncomfortable information shows up, we don't just disagree, we protect ourselves. And finally, a false consensus bias. We often assume that everyone else thinks just like us. So where does this leave us? It's tempting to say people are gullible, but that's wrong. People believe and share health misinformation not because they're gullible, but because they're human. We want connection. We want trust. We want to belong. And sometimes those wants override cold hard data. So the next time you see someone share something questionable about vaccines or diets or supplements, ask yourself, what are they trying to signal? What identity are they trying to protect? Because if we can understand that, we might just learn how to have better conversations and also healthier ones. Thanks for sticking with me today. We touched lightly upon something, that we trust those we see as experts. But who are the experts? In the next episode, we'll dive right into this. If you haven't already, please subscribe to Health Savvy You so you never miss an episode. It's available on all major platforms. I will see you in 2 weeks. Until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.
Thank you for tuning into Health Savvy You. I hope today's episode brought you one step closer to feeling confident, curious, and in control of your health. If you found this episode helpful, share it with someone you care about. Keep learning and remember, health literacy is for everyone, including you. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never miss a new episode. I have got more great conversations coming your way. See you next time, and until then, stay savvy, stay healthy.